Families were disrupted in Mississippi last week when ICE officials arrested 680 people at seven food processing plants across the state in a one-day operation. The workplace immigration raids left some children without a parent, like this 11-year-old in Forest, Mississippi.
Government, please put your heart. Let my parent be free here with everybody else. Please don't leave the child with crying and everything.
About 300 of those detained were released within 24 hours, giving some children at least one parent back. But raids like this are still difficult and frightening for children. Randy Capps has studied these impacts during the late years of the Bush administration, the last time the government regularly conducted these kinds of workplace raids. He's the director of research for U.S. programs at the Migration Policy Institute. Randy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tanzina, for having me on your program.
So the raids that happened last week were dramatic. There was lots of footage of children crying about having been separated from their parents so abruptly. Tell us what happens to children immediately after a workplace immigration raid takes place.
In most cases, it's one of the parents who gets arrested, and that parent, often the father, though I think in the Mississippi case it was a lot of mothers too, is the person who earns the most money. And the biggest issue is a drop in income. In our research, following up on about six different of these kinds of operations, families lost 70% of their income in the first few months and as much as 50% of 6 months to a year later. So the biggest issue then is the family has trouble affording housing. They may have trouble affording food and other basic necessities.
We talk a lot about the psychological trauma of being separated from parents. What have you found in your research? How does this impact a child's mental state?
Sometimes they don't know what happened because the parents don't want to tell them or don't want to tell them in detail. And then they don't know how long they're not going to see their parents if they're detained or deported. Sometimes detention can last 6 months or more. Children may, in the worst case, actually see their parents getting arrested, which is very traumatic. Usually at the workplace, they don't because the children aren't there. They're at school or at home. And then one of their parents just doesn't come home from work that day.
Many of the children in Mississippi have already started school. I can't imagine what that's like a week or so after having one of your parents caught up in a workplace immigration raid. Tell us more about the role that schools can play here in helping to stabilize the situation for these kids.
Well, it's a hard thing in these small towns, some of them 1,000 to 1,500 people, maybe close to 10% of the population might have been arrested. And so the schools play an important role because that's where the children are most of the day. The educators will get to know these children and hopefully be supportive of them. When we studied the Postville raid in Iowa in 2008, we found that some children actually did better in school after a parent was arrested because the teachers and the support staff in the schools went out of their way to help them.
If a parent is deported following a raid, what happens to the child then?
Well, after that raid in Iowa, there were a lot of deportations to Guatemala, and there was actually a filmmaker from Guatemala who followed them back to Guatemala and found the conditions that some of the children were living in, if they had returned with a parent, to be pretty basic, pretty low levels of development, especially in rural parts of Central America, big problems with housing, health, and basic food security. But most children stay here in the U.S. I mean, they have access to school here. They have much better living conditions. They have a better future. The problem is then they may be separated from one of their parents permanently or for a very long time.
Randy, let's look at this historically. You mentioned another raid that happened in the mid-2000s here. How similar is what we saw last week from what we've witnessed and what you've studied from that era?
There were a lot of similar operations at the end of the Bush administration between 2006 and 2008. There were 1,200 people arrested in six meatpacking plants across the Midwest and South. In Postville, Iowa, which is the largest single-site raid that ICE has ever conducted, 400 people were arrested at a kosher meatpacking plant. These operations are the ones then that net the most people and attract the most attention.
And, of course, the big picture for immigration today is quite different than during the Bush administration raids. And even Obama was called the deporter-in-chief, so there may have been less workplace raids, but still there were deportations happening. What do you think is different today about how this is unfolding for families and kids?
Well, in terms of the operation itself, it's remarkably similar to what happened at the end of the Bush administration. As you mentioned, the Obama administration stopped the workplace raids, but they focused more on getting people arrested by the local police through the criminal justice system. We've had ongoing large levels of arrests that subsided some at the end of the Obama administration, but it's back up again. What's new is the rhetoric of this administration, which is much more stridently anti-immigrant. Both Presidents Bush and Obama were in favor of legalizing at least some significant portion of the unauthorized population as part of immigration reform, whereas this administration has been asking Congress to cut legal immigration and been against any kind of legalization. Plus, you know, just this week, we've had the announcement of a public charge rule that would make it very difficult for any immigrant that uses benefits or is likely to use benefits to get a green card. We've had the cuts to refugees and the issues with asylum seekers at the border. So the overall context now is quite different.
I want to dig a little deeper into that, because the idea of family separation is something that we've seen that has become much more visible, much more controversial during the Trump administration. We've seen this happening at the southern border with children as young as just months old are being separated from their parents. Does that factor into ICE's strategy here and how they conduct these workplace raids? I mean, is the bigger picture here, Randy, to just instill fear?
Well, there's much more pressure on ICE now, to be honest, because of all the negative publicity around family separation at the border, because of all the organizing against ICE operations at the local level. People are much more aware of the situation that these immigrant families face when someone is arrested than they were, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. ICE has responded, actually, in this case, by releasing at least 270 out of the 680 arrested people from this operation because they're primary caregivers of children. That's not something they probably would have done before. But on the other hand, they still have those other people in detention, many of whom are parents. So this family separation issue is front and center now in a way that it hasn't been before.
I want to think a little bit about the long-term impact here on not just the families, but on children. You're a child. You are an American citizen. In this case, many of these children are American citizens. You're going about your day-to-day life, and now you've been separated from one of your parents, hopefully just one of your parents. What is the long-term impact on these kids, Randy?
Well, we know that growing up in poverty is not good for children. And some of these families were poor to begin with, but they were working class. You know, their parents had a decent, stable job, and now the parent lost that job, and the parent may be gone. And that's, you know, going to put these children in a much more precarious financial situation for years to come. And that poverty can have an adverse developmental impact. Then, of course, there's going to be the psychological trauma for a while of not knowing what's going to happen to the parent who was arrested, maybe being permanently separated from them. That may cause some shifts in families. The remaining parent may, you know, become a partner or get married to somebody else. There's going to be instability in these children.
Randy Capps is the Director of Research for U.S. Programs at the Migration Policy Institute. Randy, thanks so much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.